We're joined, as I say, by Minister for Justice Simon Harris. You're welcome to the programme, Minister, and thank you for talking to us. Perhaps I might begin with that last point made there by Professor McGee. The numbers who report sexual violence but don't tell anybody, don't report it. Overall, the figure is 47%. It's higher for women, lower for men. How concerning is that?
I think it's very concerning, and I think there's a lot of concerning information today. I mean, one of the things that I think is extremely concerning is and very interesting on one level is that 500 people who took part in this CSO survey had never disclosed the sexual violence they had encountered to anybody in their life other than to the CSO for the very first time. And I think that gives you a real indication of the scale of work that needs to be undertaken and is being undertaken in terms of changing culture, in terms of really trying to adopt a zero tolerance approach. I mean, this report today, Brian, and there's so many statistics in it, but of course these statistics aren't statistics, they're people and their lives. But the one that is, I think, probably the most harrowing, and if this doesn't stop us in our tracks this afternoon, I'm not sure what will, is the fact that nearly one in five women have experienced rape as an adult in our country. I mean, that's what this survey is telling us today. And it is vital that my department commissioned this work from the CSO because we need to have this baseline data, no matter how uncomfortable or shocking it is, because it's only by having it can we begin to measure progress and also begin to have this conversation about the cultural and societal change that needs to happen in Ireland too.
What the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre has been saying today, Nolene Blackwell, has been making the point that really what's highlighted here is that the need for further reform of the justice system, one where victims of sexual violence can feel safe in coming to report what's happened to them in safety and in confidence. Very much more needs to be done.
Yes, and Nolene is entirely right. And I mean, there's an awful lot being done on the criminal justice side, whether that's changing the laws like Coco's Law, for example, to make it an offence to share intimate images, to keep up, I suppose, with the modalities of abuse that people experience, whether it's increasing sentencing for assault causing harm, whether it's bringing forward a new sexual offences bill, which I will do in the coming weeks, that will reform the law around consent. But you know what? It's about an awful lot more than that, Brian, because what this report tells us today is the majority of adults, almost 8 out of 10 who experience sexual violence experience it from someone they know, their partner, their friend, somebody in the workplace. No little baby boy is born an abuser. What happens actually in our society, what happens in our homes, what happens in our schools matters. And the zero tolerance strategy that we have, of course, rightly puts pressure on us to do more as a government, and we're up for that and we're doing it and we have our national strategy, we're setting up a new agency. But it's every single person listening to this programme, every single family this evening around the dinner table or on the couch in the sitting room, not just to be shocked, not just to be shocked, but to say, what do we actually do to get on top of this as a society and to change the culture?
What are we doing to support and help survivors of abuse? One in four, which deals with those who've endured child sexual abuse, say they have a waiting list for counselling of more than a year.
So we are doing quite a lot to support victims of child abuse, and we're continuing to work with One in Four and many other organisations. We're increasing funding very, very significantly for all of these groups, but we're doing more than that too. We're making sure that no matter what part of Ireland you live in now, that for the very first time when you come forward to report to the Gardaí, to report that most traumatic incident, that heinous crime, that there are trained Gardaí and that there are specialist units in every single Garda division. But of course, I fully accept on a victim's journey and the relative counselling, we do have more to do, but we have a plan of €363 million plan to adopt a zero tolerance approach to domestic, sexual and gender based violence.
If I could move on just, Minister, to another matter, and it's the conclusion of the Regency trial this week and the acquittal of Gerry Hutch.
Yes.
For murder. Now, I know you're constrained in what you can say about this. The DPP acts as an independent agency, obviously, and hindsight, as they say, is 20/20 vision. But in this case, where Gerard Hutch was acquitted of murder, even though the court spoke of him having control of the weapons involved in the killing of David Byrne after the attack there, and also that he was regarded as a head of the Hutch crime group. In view of how the case turned out, are there questions, are there lessons to be learned?
Well, I think in relation to any scenario and any major project, there's always a body of work and reflection and lessons learned in all organisations involved. But what I should say is this. I mean, there were two more convictions secured in the Special Criminal Court this week. The level of activity and success of An Garda Síochána in tackling organised crime in this country is at an unprecedented level. I'm just looking at statistics here. Even from the last year alone, we have seen 3 Garda interventions in relation to threats to life, 80 since March 2015. We've seen 173 arrests for drug trafficking, money laundering, possession of firearms. The net is really closing in on organised crime in this country. And I think there have been many concrete examples of that by An Garda Síochána in recent months. The courts are independent. What we saw this week was a special criminal court working, the special criminal court doing its job. And just because a successful verdict, or a guilty verdict rather, in one case wasn't found, is not a reason not for the DPP not to have carried out their job and their duties as they did, and the Gardaí to do their very excellent work in terms of a very thorough investigation.
Does there need to be, though, a review of how the DPP conducted the case in relation to Gerard Hutch?
The DPP is absolutely independent in her functions, and for very good reasons. And I believe the DPP and their office have seen very much success in these areas. Of course, as I've said, it is a matter of course that after any major investigation and the likes, of course, all offices and agencies will look back in relation to their own operations regarding that.
But the DPP is already accountable, for example, in decisions not to prosecute in the case of serious crimes. It'll explain to a victim why that decision was taken. It'll explain to a family, perhaps, of somebody who's been murdered. Does there need to be more accountability or even some accountability from the DPP?
No, I mean, I'm very happy that the way our court system works and the independence of all parts of our investigative processes, be it the Gardaí, be it the DPP, and be it the court system, is as it should be. We saw the system function this week as it should. A DPP bring charges to the courts. The courts make a decision to convict two people and not convict the other. And that is an independent judiciary carrying out its work. And in many ways, it dispels some of the myths that often the critics and opponents of the Special Criminal Court put forward in relation to its operation. Mm.
Just one final question before I let you go. And it's in relation to plans now to equip the Gardaí, I think on a pilot basis, with body cams, which would include facial recognition technology. Now, we know your partners in government, the Greens, want more scrutiny of this. They don't want this to be tagged on to existing legislation, the facial recognition aspect of this. Is there going to be further parliamentary scrutiny? Will there be separate legislation for the facial recognition technology?
So I don't fixate on what legislative vehicle we use to get there. What I do fixate on is the need to give the Gardaí the power to keep people safe and to apprehend some very, very serious criminals in this country and indeed internationally. Whether that's online child sex abuse, whether it's major murder investigations, potential terrorist attacks, there is technology available to keep people safe and to support the Gardaí. I don't actually think the differences are as big as sometimes articulated. It's absolutely appropriate that safeguards would be put in place. It's absolutely appropriate that there'd be proper Oireachtas oversight. But it's also absolutely appropriate that as Minister for Justice, I stand by a request from the Garda Commissioner on behalf of An Garda Síochána to have access to two technologies that will work and that will help them in doing their job. So I look forward to briefing government leaders in the first instance shortly and bringing proposals to government in relation to this. And I genuinely believe a landing zone can be found.
Minister for Justice Simon Harris, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme. And if you've been affected by the issues raised in our earlier discussion in relation to the CSO's sexual violence survey, there is help available. The Rape Crisis Helpline operates 24 hours a day, and the number there is 1-800-77-8888. The Rape Crisis Helpline, 1-800-77-8888. And you can find that number and others available on the RTE website at rte.ie/helplines.